I want to talk about something which I think is, on one level, fascinating, and I think very, very important. I've wanted to give a shiur like this for a couple of years, but finally, I guess, mustered up the confidence to do so tonight. And I want to explain what we're going to speak about. I want to give a little bit of a hakdama to new Sfarim in general, and I want to explain a little bit why I think it's so powerful, especially before Shavuos. Some of us spoke about this last week at one point. The Taz in Rechaim and Siman Mem Zayin, the Torah Chaim and Bava Metzia, in a bit of a different way, both develop a fascinating insight, which is the Birchas HaTorah that we recite when we are blessing the Ribono Shalom. Upon Torah is no Seinat Torah. God gives Torah. And the Taz is already sensitive to the fact that it is not saying that bracha nasan ha-Torah, that God gave us Torah in the past, but rather what you have in the bracha is because Baruch Hu is nosein, belashon hove, that God is giving us Torah. And the Mefarshim wonder, how come, didn't we get Torah on Shavuos? Why are we speaking about matan Torah, kabbalas ha-Torah, as if it's still occurring right now, God is giving us Torah? Says the Taz, Elah HaKavana, Shri's Baruch, Nosanu Tamid, B'chol Yom Tarasa. Your Baruch Hu gives us Torah every single day. Dehainu She'anu Oskimba. We learn Torah. We engage in Torah. Umamzi Lanu Hu Yisbarach Ba'ta'amim Chadashim. And we find new insights, new explanations all the time when we are engaged in learning. Torah, we were mekabel on Shavuos. The Torah we received on Shavuos. But there's a certain kind of giving over of Torah which exists all the time. A certain kind of freshness and newness that comes all the time when Torah is given over. On one level, the entire idea of there being new Sfarim is somewhat interesting. If we read a lot of Sfarim, so many newer Sfarim especially, the Hakdamas write about, like, who am I to write a Sefer? Are there not enough quality Sfarim already out there? Like, why is it important to have new Sfarim? So many of us already know, at least from our perspective as consumers, the Rush writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, very, very, very famous comment to the Rush. We know the Torah tells V'ata kisvu lachem es ashira hazos, that we are commanded to write a Sefer Torah. The Rush very famously writes that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah, one need not just write a Sefer Torah, but rather one can fulfill that mitzvah for some achronim, one should fulfill that mitzvah by buying Sfarim. That the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is for us to have Sfarim that we could learn from. And says the Rosh, when you buy Sfarim, you're partially, on some level, fulfilling that mitzvah asei d'oraisa. Now I can learn more Torah. What a special thing to be able to do. Why are there new Sfarim, though? What's behind these new Sfarim? So for the Taz, because there are always new insights. No Seinat Torah, because Baruch Shalom is always giving over Torah. There are always new insights. For Rav Kook, in the beginning of Musar Avicha, so Rav Kook speaks about how, especially in the realm of Hashkafa, Musar, and things like that, for it to really impact you, so many people have to do the equivalent of writing their own Sefer. That Musar, Sfarim, in many ways are there to build a person, to allow them to follow a particular path, like the Sulam of Pinchas ben Yair, to follow a particular path which is going to build you into being someone that's bigger, to build you into someone that's even more successful. But the reality is, each person is somewhat different. And says Rav Kook, Nira she'i efter latzeisi dechova be'inyin chovas halev, rak in yisader sefer la'atzmo b'limudim hanedrashin lo bazeh. That there becomes on some level value to being able to put together your own Sefer. And I can put together my own Sefer for the way that I want to be able to learn. And the insights that inspire me and move me, that becomes incredibly valuable. Many write even more intensely about the need to write Sfarim. The Bnei Yisachar in Derech Bikudecha, a very famous piece of Mitzvah Aleph, understands that Puruvu in the physical realm means to produce children, to procreate. But Puruvu in the spiritual realm is Lifros v'lirbos b'Torah, leholid b'chol pam sichnis chadashim b'Torah, that a person has an obligation, says Bnei Yisachar, when a person produces new Torah, when a person produces new chidushim in Torah, that's like a spiritual fulfillment of the mitzvah of Puruvu. The spiritual fulfillment of the mitzvah of Puruvu, like Reb Tzadok didn't have children, his Sefer and Chumash is called Pre Tzadok. It's like his payroll, it's like his fulfillment in many ways of Puruvu. The Sefer She'eris Yosef, again, it's all just a hakdama before we get to the main part of it. The Sefer She'eris Yosef, Rav Warman, Zichron Levracha, was the Rashiva of Hank for many years, a massive, massive Talmud Chacham. In the beginning of Chelek Beis, when the Talmidim of Hakmar wrote Blades of Silver, Rav Warman writes there, quotes a bunch of Sfarim, he quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, a very powerful line. He says the Sefer Chassidim, Shekol Misha Gilo, Gash Baruch Hu Davar, Ve'eno Kosvo. If the Rebbeinu Shalom reveals to you a new Torah insight and you don't write it down, Hare Gozel Masha Gilalo. It's like an act of stealing. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave you something to share with others. It's almost like for some, it's like Kovesh Nivuaso. If I get a Nivua, I have a responsibility to share it. If I have new Torah that I got, I have enough rise to be able to share it over. And he writes also some quote from Rebbeinu Ephraim. The Rebbeinu Shalom shares insights with you, and you don't share them, so asad li tenes adin. Most importantly, again, as we just wrap up our introduction, the value of producing Torah isn't just your spiritual puruvu, isn't just a nosin Torah, the new tamim kadashim, isn't just that if I got it, it's a form of stealing. If I don't share it with others. But there's one more insight. Rav Kook, many of us may know, some of us learned it together this year on Wednesday mornings, Maimer Hador. Every generation is a little bit different. And because there are different generations, because there are different kufos, in Klal Yisrael, we need different Torah. I know I was always attracted to, throughout, again, to the Rebbeim who are engaging in new Torah, talking about new Shilas, learning new Svarim, that they're always felt for me, if I knew it's the same Torah, the exact same Torah every bunch of years. It's every week, every year this parsha, it's the exact same vort, year after year. For me, there was always something stale about that. That was the Nusan Torah. The Torah was given over and it's not alive the same way. And there's something exciting about new Sfarim. There's something very, very exciting going to a Sfarim store and seeing just how much is being produced. And especially when those Sfarim are being written in a way which is deeply, deeply, deeply relevant for the people who are for this generation. And it's teaching the Torah which is going to speak to us, and the Torah in many ways which is going to move us. I'm going to speak about five or six new Sfarim in the last year that, at least for me, were very impactful, and Sfarim that I think, whether we will learn them or not, I don't know, that we should be aware of them, I think is undoubtedly the case. I will have full disclosure right now, which is, if you were in my shir and your father wrote a sefer in the last year, it will make this list. That simple. So we're two for two on that. That we will definitely do. If you co-authored the Sefer with your father, I'll ask comma. So we are, that is definitely going to be there. Let's start as follows. I brought all this farm here that were not authored by the fathers of people in Shir, so those you can, speak to them. This Sefer is very, very important. We really should be familiar with. Rav Sternbach, Moshe Sternbach is the Rosh Av Beis Din, I believe, of the Eidah Charis Mishalayim, originally from South Africa, from England, a giant, giant of a Talmud Chacham. Tshuvos v'Hanhagos, his Shilas and Tshuvas, are very popular Sfarim that get quoted all over the place. He started publishing his Sfarim years ago, the Sefer Moadim Uzmanim on the Moadim, many of us may have either been familiar with, many of us may be in Shiurim, in which Moadim Uzmanim has been quoted since we started learning Sukkah. Rav Sternbach is an incredibly, incredibly important posek. They published, not that many months ago, the seventh volume of Shilas and Tshuvas, Shut Tshuvas v'Hanhagos. Why is it so important? One of the reasons why it's so important in the world of Shilas and Tshuvas, and of Sternbach in particular, is he gives you great insight about new Shilas there. One of the things he does there in that Sefer is newer Shilas that come up. So the last Tshuva in the seventh volume is a very famous one already, which is, it doesn't say who was written to, but it was written to Rav Malkiel Cutler in Lakewood, all about vaccinations, and whether schools have the right to not allow kids in who have not been vaccinated. We need, for tshuvas like that, you need a newer tshuva to be able to talk about it. And he speaks about a lot of newer shilas that are going to come up. It's also important because it gives us amazing insight into a world that's not really ours. So Sternbach, as an example, has a shila. I don't know if anyone else has been intrigued by this. I know that I have. The Eidah Charedis is involved in a lot of protests. And often those protests take place on Shabbos. And as a result of those protests, they are l'chora causing chilul Shabbos because the police now are going to have to come and to be mechalel Shabbos in order to be able to oversee and figure out what's going to happen as far as this protest goes. And it's amazing to see a tshuva, Rav Sternbach, talking about that shaila. And so many of new shaila, depending on what you follow, as far as which kinds of chickens are considered to be kosher. A lot of the Eidah Charei's kashrus policies, if you're into the kashrus scene in Eretz Yisrael, what they do as far as Pesach, what they do all year long as far as the milk, if cows are eating chametz on Pesach, can you use the milk from the... A lot of this fascinating shaylas, they also have in there, which is so important, is they have some of the tshuvas are just short ha'aras on new svarim that have come out since then, or newer svarim. So Halicha Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so Rav Sternbach just seems like he went through Halicha Shlomo. So some of the tshuvas are just short ha'aras on what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. And in many ways, what this is a classic sefer from the Gedolei HaPoskim, not from this tzibor, but one of the Gedolei HaPoskim, and it's an unbelievable opportunity to see real tshuvas written on contemporary topics. That's because of something which I think is important. If you are a person, Rav Yaakov Ariel, who's the former chief rabbi of Ramat Gan and a major Talmid Chacham, wrote an article a little bit ago in which he critiqued, I think, what he called Facebook rabbis. The phenomenon that, like, you have these rebbeim in Facebook that, like, whenever anything happens, automatically need to, like, publish some take on this, you know, as automatically, you know, as quickly as they can. And he wrote a harsh critique of it. The way that many of the greatest posts can work is that they're not publishing things within 15 minutes of it coming out. But they're thinking about it. They're going to research it. They're going to write well-argued points. And that's going to be true with Hagos. So that's sefer number one, which if you're looking for like an amazing sefer that came out this past year in the world of Chuvah, it's highly recommended. I believe Benjamin, your father, recommended it to me when I was in high school to go through Chuvah Hagos. It's an amazing just set of svarim as far as he quotes a lot of important makoros, a lot of things meet Pia Shmua from different Rabbanim. It's an amazing sefer. There is sefer number two. Sefer number two is also so important because of its relevance. I imagine many of us have seen it probably around the Beis Medrash, and it's one that I think that I want to speak about for a little bit. Lopiansky wrote a sefer called Ben Torah for Life. What is the sefer about? It is an unbelievably popular sefer. Ladati, it's a masterpiece. It's an absolute masterpiece. Lopiansky's sefer is written for a particular group that has a particular struggle. Many people, it's not written for people, it's written for people who are very, very serious about their Talmud Torah, that really want to grow in their world of Ruchnias. And the struggle that they have is that they are now going to be leaving yeshiva to go start working. And if you've spoken to people like this, it becomes very challenging. When I'm in yeshiva, I feel a certain sense of pride. I'm focused all day in Torah and Ruchnias. And suddenly now I'm making a choice. I'm going to be in location X, location Y, where I'm not going to be learning all day. I'm going to be working full time. And for many people, the great challenge they have is, how do I make that adjustment as smoothly as I'd like? For most of the people in this room, that adjustment really takes place in two steps. Because the next step for many of us here is to be in a college in which we're still learning a significant portion of the day, but not all the day. And there's a little bit of a break in between. But Beyonce does an amazing job not dealing with the halachic shilas. Of that, Rabbi Ari Wasserman did a fantastic job. Not the halachic shaylas, but the hashkafa and the perspective around it. Because he describes, and there are times where it moves you, describing the value of a person who works, but describing what the transition is like. How do you give chizik to a person? What does it mean when I stopped learning in order to start working, and I'm struggling like crazy financially? And what that does, and the way to properly describe a person like that, the way to be able to deal with such a person. That's something which is incredibly chashev. Lubyansky Sefer has been immensely, immensely popular because of its relevance. It is not relevant for a guy that's still going to be in yeshiva. The Mikoros are incredibly relevant. It's a sefer which a person who wants to learn from one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of America nowadays, one of the great Bali Machshava, you can undoubtedly get it now. That is Lubyansky's Sefer. It's powerful. It is awesome. That is Sefer number two. Let's go to the Jacka family for a second, because I think the Sefer is important for a reason. Benjamin and his father wrote a Sefer on Sefer Yonah. On Sefer Yonah. I think the Sefer is fantastic, and for one reason in particular. I believe your father even wrote this in an email. It's an amazing insight. You know what the challenge is for a lot of people who learn in yeshiva? Is that when I want to start learning Tanakh, I don't really know how. I spend a lot of time learning Gemara B'Ian. I got that. I spend a lot of time learning Gemara B'Kiyas. A little bit of Musar, a little bit of Machshava. But one of the areas in which I sometimes can feel like I don't have a mahalach in what to do is Tanakh. I remember once when I was in Smicha, so I was close to a particular Rebbe, and I was in a certain program where that Rebbe was taking us around to observe other Rebbeim. So you're observing Rebbeim teach. We went to a school, and there was a Rebbe that was teaching there, and the Rebbe was teaching a shiur in Chumash. It did not take long to realize the following. The Rebbe was a big Talmid Chacham. It did not seem that he knew that much about what to do when it comes to teaching Chumash. What did he do? Read Pasuk, translate. Read Rashi, translate. Read Ramban, translate. Read Ibn Ezra, translate. Done. Next Pasuk, read, translate. And sometimes, if we ever want to get into the habit or learn how to learn Tanakh in a real way, so it's important to get exposure to what is a way of learning Tanakh. How can I learn a Sefer in a way which is actually going to be called learning a Sefer? And what does that look like? And for me, it happens to be a McGill student in source number 7 on the sheet who wrote a review of the Sefer, wrote that, I think, very, very powerfully also, that one of the things it does, aside from tackling important issues, it's like a question, a main question in the Perek, with like 3 mahalchim at times. And it's analyzing those mahalchim. The reason why it's awesome is that a lot of the structure of it is going to sound familiar to many of us who are used to learning things like Gemara B'Ian. It's going to sound very, very similar to many of us that are used to question and a couple mahalchim. And analyzing those mahalchim and comparing and contrasting points of those mahalchim. And one of the things that does so important, if you ever want to start learning Tanakh well, or at least become familiar with how a person can transition from being exclusively, I'm more focused in Gemara or things like that, to expand, it's a masterful, masterful sefer for that. What I think that leads us to, as we go through, and hopefully this is somewhat interesting for you, is this Sefer, I think, is not so well known. I happen to think it's a masterpiece. It's called Zeh HaSha'ar. One of the great, anyone here familiar with the Sefer? Ever seen it? Zeh HaSha'ar is written by one of the great Bali Machshava of, passed away a year or two ago, one of the great Bali Machshava of this or the past generation. Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro was a giant of a Talmid Chacham. He was a giant of a Baal Machshava. He gave lots and lots of chaburas and lots of shiurim. There was a brief tkufa where he gave back to the guys from Shalavim a shiur in Zvachim for a while that I think petered off a little bit. But Rav Moshe Shapiro was a giant. He used to give a shiur on Thursday nights. A shiur on Thursday nights that was open to anyone that wanted to go. Rav Waxman used to often go, and he would bring people along. I remember once going with Rav Waxman there on a Shushan Purim and spending a little bit of time there. A major Talmid Chacham. To get into a lot of his chaburas, you require special permission. So many of his shiurim were not open for people to go to. During his lifetime, he did not write that much. During his lifetime, there were some svarim that were put out. Sefer called Re'ei Emunah on Yigam L'Ikarim. People have seen those far with Moshe Shapiro on Yigam L'Ikarim. Sefer Mimamakim on Chumash, which also has some of his Torah in Chumash. This Sefer is Shi'urim written up. Rav Moshe for years gave a Shir, a Chabura, on the Gra on Mishle. Why is it so important? These are some of the first Shi'urim that Rav Moshe gave over in the world of Agada, in the world of Machshava. He said he spent a lot of time preparing the Sefer. Why is the Sefer so important? Not only because it gives you an explanation to Torah's Hagra, something which is incredibly, incredibly valuable, but it serves as an unbelievable introduction to so many topics in the world of Agada and Machshava. That for a lot of people, and this I would just say is an important point, when we talk about Machshava, there are undoubtedly people that relate to it as like a collection of vorts. That if a person wants to speak about Shavuos, so I'll find 4 or 5 like vorts about Shavuos, I'll put them together, and we'll call that a Machshava Shir. And in truth, Machshava is a system like anything else. And they started putting out Rav Moshe Shiurim after he was Nifter and lots of things. They put it out recently seen a couple of volumes, which is unbelievable. With Moshe Shiurim on Agadata, which is amazing, because Agadata, for many people, it's a closed book. Like, what do I do when I come across Agadata? Answer, find an article and move quickly. But what about if you believe, maybe, that Agadata is like an incredibly important work in Jewish thought? Like, it's Chazal on, like, Agadata, like, it's on so many issues of Machshava and things like that. So if Moshe Shapiro, they started publishing his Shurim a lot, it is not the easiest safer in the world. It gets into Kabbalistic concepts. It's an unbelievable introduction. I have here, as far as the concepts, Chachma, Bina and Das, Shemayim and Aretz, Torah Mitzvos, Netzach and Ho, Tochacha, Chet Me Meriva, so many major topics. Where if Moshe did was he used the Gra and Mishlei, and he used the Gra and Mishlei to introduce to the people learning there, and to many of us who may buy the Sfarim, Torah, which is unbelievable. Torah is unbelievable. The next Sefer we'll talk about was also published after someone's life. Its greatness is not in its relevancy. It's not because Lopiansky, it taps into the struggle of people. It's not because of Sternbach, you start getting into these discussions about like the newer shilas of vaccinations and things like protests and with chickens are kosher and things like that. It's not that it's like giving us an opening to a world of machshava and things like that, but rather this sefer is amazingly inspiring. It is a little bit tragic, and when you learn it, there's nothing you could say other than chaval da'atin. It's an unbelievable thing. Sefer is written by many of us, I'm sure, know Rabbi Eitam Henkin was killed with his wife in a terrorist attack. But Henkin passed away, I think, 3-4 years ago. He was a giant in so many different realms. He passed away when he was, I think, 31 or 32. He was younger than me. Rav Eitam Henkin published a lot of Sfarim when he was alive. Published a couple of Sfarim. Published one sefer on the halachas of bugs in food. Rav Nevensal writes that he, you know, went through the whole thing, and he says, he refers to it in Haskama. It's a very chashuv Haskama. Rav Nevensal writes, I went over your kuntris, parentheses. I hope you're not offended that I called it a kuntris. Rashi is called kuntris also. And writes, I went through the whole sefer. I have no halachic. It's amazing. He has a sefer that came out after he died called Eshtam and Hilch Shabbos. He also was pretty seriously involved in academic Jewish studies and Jewish history. He was if you speak to people, at least I know that I've spoken to, it's hard to fat articles and articles and articles. We spoke about Mesichos Musar a bunch of years ago to share what is, I think, one of the more beautiful Torahs I've seen, or Rabbi Akiva, from Eitam Henkin. So the Sefer, he published in his life a bunch of articles about the Aruch HaShulchan. After he was Nifter, they decided to collect the articles. I believe they also went on his laptop and saw new things he was working on about the Aruch HaShulchan. There's Tam Chacham in Beit Shemesh, Eliezer Broad, I think is his name. Met him once or twice, who put out this Sefer. It's a Sefer on the Aruch HaShulchan. Sefer on the Aruch HaShulchan. What's amazing about the Sefer is not only the depth with which Eitam Henkin, at a very young age, was able to write, not only because you see something so powerful in terms of, as his family writes in Hakdama, that a person could be nifter, but their light could continue to shine. Light continue to shine. And it's an amazing description of so many important things about the Aruch HaShulchan, from new editions of the Aruch HaShulchan, to how he wrote the Aruch HaShulchan, his relationship to the Musar movement, his relationship to Zionism. If you want to understand one of the Gedolei HaPoskim of 20th century, this Sefer is critical for understanding the Aruch HaShulchan and how he worked. And to learn it from someone, what you're doing, first of all, to feel just how much we lost. I am right now on Fridays giving Shirman the thought of the Chafetz Chaim. Eitam Henkin's dissertation, his first doctorate, was going to be in the Chafetz Chaim, I believe. His professor published online the proposal he had made for what he was going to write about. Eino domet, preparing Shiurim on the Chafetz Chaim, because we don't have his work. Because we have the Aruch HaShulchan, and we were not zocha to have his writings on the Chafetz Chaim. Eino domet. And one of the great Sfarim, if you go through it, just to even tap into just what we lost and who he was, and to learn along the way unbelievable insights about the Aruch HaShulchan, about what it means, what the Aruch HaShulchan did, what the goal of it was, how it changes the way we learn, it is undoubtedly something which is important. In the remaining time we have, let's begin one more sefer, and then we will summarize things a little bit. The last safe for safer?
Kono Lomo.
First time you're not saying?
Siete.
Exactly. Safer Kono Lomo. Rabbi Leibowitz, who many of us, I'm sure, have heard in the realm of Torah Shebaal Peh, has started writing the last couple of years his Halakha Shirma. Why is that important? I think it's important for the following reason. One of the amazing things, when you talk about what the new Sfarim for each generation, is that so many people want to be more knowledgeable, want Torah that's going to be presented clearly in a way which is going to build them, to understand the halakhic process. We don't just want to be told nowadays that, at least many of us, is it mutter, is it usser, is it okay, is it not okay? What many of us want to understand is the unfolding of the process. How it starts from psukim and it goes to gemaras, how there are three shitas in Rishonim, how in poskim, Shulchan Aruch paskins like this, Nirama paskins like that, that there can be three shitas in contemporary poskim. It brings down a lot of the Mipi HaShmua, Torahs of Shechter, which is an amazing thing for those of us that are very into his Torah. But what it does is, for this generation, it's an amazing piece of Torah. It's an amazing Torah because it opens up for us so many halakhic topics and breaks down for us, what do poskim do? And how does it start from the beginning and go to the end? If I learn Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah, it's an amazing thing, but I can get very focused on Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah. And many of us don't have the time nowadays to learn halakhic topics from beginning to end. And even when we're learning Maseches Sukkah, we often won't speak that much about what happens halakha l'maisa. Forget about it, you know, in Gidden or things like that. It's a challenge that takes place to see someone that did that and to learn it that way gives us so much insight in terms of what's out there. We opened up by just talking about how no seinat Torah, the Rabbono Shel Olam Torah is always being given over. There are ta'amim chadashim. There are always new things that are there. And Sefer Chassidim says, when the Rabbono Shel Olam reveals something to us, it's like stealing it to not give it over and share it with others. It's just keeping it for ourselves, which is considered to be inappropriate. And every generation needs Torah, which is relevant and important for that generation. The Sfarim I spoke about, I think it's so important. There's Sfarim that are important for 2019. There's Sfarim that are important for this year, Kabbalah Satorah. Because some of the Sfarim open up worlds for us. The world of Nach, and to see how to learn it in an organized way. How to see different Mahalchim. The world of Machshava. Be able to become familiar with more and more concepts in Machshava in a substantive and in a deep way. To be able to see Torah, which is relevant for nowadays. The Halacha L'maisa that's relevant for nowadays, in Rav Sternbach. The Rav Lipiansky, the Hashkafa, which is relevant nowadays. Transitions which people make. And Torah, which is speaking to this generation, written by in Adam Gadol. To see it like that. And to see Sfarim. To see Sfarim, the depth of Torah scholarship which people can accomplish at a young age. And to connect the tragic loss of our generation to not have more Sfarim like this as a result, or Sfarim in Hilchos Shabbos, or Sfarim in Hilchos Tola'im, or writings on Rav Kook, the Aruch HaShulchan, or in Rabbi Akiva, and all Sfarim Veitam Hankin, all articles Veitam Hankin that are so important, and to have the opportunity for us, as the halakhic process is so great, to tap into that and to be able to see it. We are not that far away from Shavuos. And Shavuos is about being Mekabel Torah. But if you want to be Mekabel Torah well, one thing I would suggest is to make sure to really tap into the fact that, you know, as many of the Mefarshim explain, how come it doesn't say in Chumash explicitly that Shavuos is Vechag Matan Torah, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, Zman Kabbalah Torah Seinu, because we're always being Mekabel Torah every single day. And many of these Sfarim, for me, highlight such an important idea. Torah is alive and Torah is vibrant. And what's great about Torah are the classic Sfarim. I got to learn Chumash, I got to learn Gemara, Rashi, Tobos, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. There's so many classical Sfarim, but it's great to feel sometimes and to experience the fact that Torah is alive. And every generation has its Torah. And to be able to tap into that Torah is incredibly, incredibly important. These are some of the new Sfarim. Be'ezra Hashem, tomorrow we'll have the opportunity. Dr. Benji, for those of you that know, Dr. Benji Epstein was speaking about one of his new books. Be'ezra Hashem, a little time, I'll at least be speaking to some of you about Rabbi David Shefkin Sefer. I think it's very important for the world of tshuva. We'll speak about it then. A lot of new Sfarim that are out there that are very, very exciting. And for us to be able to be aware of it, to tap into it, to taste the Tamu Uru, Kitov Hashem, to be able to taste the sweetness of Torah, which is there, the Torah is alive. Which is also to be Mekabel Torah, not only the Torah that we receive, but the Torah that we continue to receive each and every day. Have a wonderful night.